Yeah, hello, who's this?
It's DJ Khaled, your brother. First of all, I want everybody to know I love you. You know what I'm saying? We support each other, and that's how it's supposed to be. They say you in the studio cooking up. They don't want us to win. So we gonna win more. A lot more. It's your brother for life. It's DJ Khaled. We the best. Another one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently ready for takeoff and expected to be on air in 2 minutes. We ask that you switch on all data services and join us via Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, calls, and text messages. We also ask that you stay away from all other things that will distract you from this transmission.
Oh my, this is amazing. This is great. This is something I always want to listen to. Listening to the main man. DLALI.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome to the E-Factor. My name is D'Apostrophe. This is Lifestyle's Biggest Conversation. Yes, I want to welcome you. If today's your first time, I hope you stay with us forever. Later on the show, I'm going to have a South African art director all the way from South Africa. We're going to be speaking about gender-based violence, like every single thing that has to do with gender-based violence. So make sure that you don't go anywhere. Do not go anywhere because I have an insightful interview right here. Karin Bester, however you want to call it, depending on where you're from, she's going to be joining us. You know what I'm talking about later. She's going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about a relevant topic that is in tune with the times of today. So make sure you open your ears. You're able to share this video, you know, comments. Let us know what is going on with you. And if you are going through any sort of violence, just know that we are here for you. Okay, now let's get into our words and then quickly get to the interview. So our first word for today is violence, and that means behavior involving physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something. Okay, and then to our confused words, we have illicit and illicit. So one of them begins with an E, another one begins with an I. So the one that begins with an E means evoke or draw out an answer or reaction from someone. And then the one with an I means illegal. So take note of this. Now to our idiomatic expression, we have say well or be still. And that means that if you cannot speak good of someone or something, it's better not to speak. If you don't have anything positive to say, keep quiet. All right, so if you're looking for a place to record your adverts, radio ads, you know, anything that has to do with audio, call Audibles on 0557-221-192. We're on Instagram at Wired Studio 7. And now, Yuletide season, it's Christmas. Everybody's sewing something. Don't you want to look good for the Christmas and the New Year? Yes, so call 0507-656-429 or 0550-889-128 for your amazing cloths. That is Yadela. They're on Instagram at Yadela_GA. So make sure you take note of that and look good for Christmas. Now, if you're looking for shito, yes, shito. You know shito? If you're not from Ghana, it's like, let me say, as black pepper sauce. Okay, so 0500-407-693. They're on Instagram at Shito Flex. So you contact Shito Flex for your shito. If you want to advertise with the E-Factor, get your product on here. Call the number 0557-221-192 or reach us on Instagram at E-Factor GH. Okay, so we're gonna do inspiration, and then we're gonna do song of the week. When we are back, we are speaking to Karin Bester. She's an art director from South Africa. We're gonna be joining her. She's gonna be joining us via Zoom, and then we're gonna have a conversation about gender-based violence. Make sure that you don't go anywhere. Please, don't you dare go anywhere. We're gonna be right back, and we're gonna actually talk about all these things. So please and please and please. And also, she sets her alarm for 190 minutes. So every 190 minutes her alarm goes off, and she has to wait. Whatever she's doing, she has to stop and record a video, mention the video number. So if this is the thousandth video. She says, video number 1,000. She had a name. Just to let you guys know that whatever it is that she may be going through, people that have lost their lives through gender-based violence, like, our hearts are with you. We remember you, and we are doing everything that we can to actually make the world safer for, you know, other females out there. So please, this is a good cause. Kindly support it. Get this video out there. Let people know what is happening. You know, that some people are suffering in silence, and we need to change the narrative. We need to be able to sit down and speak about these things, because these are actually very, very important things. Okay, so please add your voice to this. Spread the word. Let everybody know that gender-based violence is not normal, and we need to change the narrative. We need to do better. And if you have any friend that may be going through something like that, please and please and please reach out. Keep poking them. You know, you can proceed with caution, tread with caution, but just let them know that you're with them. You're never going to leave them alone. Okay, so go as much as you have to push. Keep pushing. If the authorities that you can report, you know, perpetrators to, please do that. If they are shelters, you know, like we speak about in the interview and stuff like that, just, you know, just get the word out there and let people know that they are not alone. Let's be passionate about things that actually matter. So I'll see you on the other side with Corinne Bester. I'm just trying to actually mention it the way she likes it mentioned. So I'll see you on the other side. Let's talk gender-based violence. And please, come on, don't be scared. Don't keep quiet about it. Get it out there. And let's let this woman know that we are with them. We're actually with them. This is the E-Factor. My name is D'Apostrophe. We will be right back.
This is the E-Factor.
We can't spell one song and one song.
We're going to skate to one song only.
Oh my, this is amazing. This is great. This is something I always want to listen to. Listening to the main man, D'Apostrophe L-A-L-I.
It started with creams, then slaps and kicks. How hard was it for you to cry for help? You said you stayed for us. Mama, where are you now?
This is the
My first love has been taken away from me. If tears could bring you back, I'd cry you a river. But my tears can bring you back. You're gone forever. It's gonna take a lifetime to get over this pain. It's gonna take forever. I wish I could turn back the hand of time, so I could see your face again. But you're gone forever. If I have found your voice and spoken for you, I will still have the beauty. That is you. How do I love
and trust? This is amazing. This is great. This is something I always want to listen to. Listening to the main man, D'Apostrophe L-A-L-I.
I could turn back the hand of time, so I could see your face again.
You can live your dream if it's becoming a diamond, if it's having more, if it's achieving more, if it's being a better father, being a better mother, whatever it is, overcoming addiction, changing our society. It's possible you can live your dream. It's necessary that you have a plan of action, that you're resilient, that you stick to, and you work with the system, that you work with people, that you give support, and that you be there for them, that you have the vision and never give up, that you become creative and relentless and keep on coming back again and again and again, and that it's you that you got to take personal responsibility to make it happen, and that it's hard. Easy is not an option. And when life knocked you down, jump back up and said, it's not over until I win. And when you know it's hard, and you write down those reasons that will energize you, that will inspire you when you want to give up, when you doubt yourself and you pull those reasons out, that will make it worth it for you. And once you find those things that will make it worth it for you, it will create a hunger within you that won't be denied. And then it is done. It is done. It is
done. I have a really important story that I want to tell. I met my abuser when I was 19 years old. He was charming, and it all started amazing, and then one thing led to another. Started with little comments here and there, so it started with more verbal abuse, and then it started with a push or a shove, and then it became a choke. And I was like, all right, well, if you really choked me, and I'm thinking in my head, if you choked me harder, then I'm gonna leave. But then if every time I tried to leave, it kept getting worse, and I didn't know how to get out. And I thought that it was my fault, because he truly blamed me for everything. And so I lost all my friends. I got dropped by every agent and manager in the business because I was doing terrible at auditions, and I truly felt like I was stuck.
She had a name.
I did not know how to get out, and I didn't know there was a place that could help me. But also because I didn't know if anyone would believe me, I didn't know. So I just hid, and I hid, and I hid, and that's when I finally was like, I don't want to live my life like this anymore. So I prayed to my grandpa, and I said, please just take me away, because I don't want to be this person, because I was a girl with full of light and full of energy and charm, and this man just broke me down to absolute nothing.
She had a name.
So on that next day is when he choked me, said he was going to kill me, and ended up strangling me till I lost my breath. But I saw my whole life flash before my eyes. I saw my birth to my funeral, and I just remember seeing my mom, and it's like, why couldn't I reach out to my family? And that's what I love about Safe Horizon, was because there is a place where you can reach out and you can talk about it. And once my abuser was in jail and I was able to finally be set free from him, my family became my Safe Horizon.
Had a name.
I was able to go today to see the shelter, and it was beautiful to see. I have a 14-month-old baby girl, and I would do anything in the world to protect her. And to go in there and see these beautiful children being protected means the absolute world to me as a mother. And then I also know those mothers there too are so grateful, because it inspired me to know that not only can we now speak about it, but we can also have shelter and we can get help. Another huge fear of mine was my story, because I thought that if I shared my story, then people would view me as broken. And it's been 14 years. I held it in for 14 years. But now, knowing the platform that I have, I want to be able to be a voice for you guys. I will be the loudest voice.
She had a name.
This is the effect.
Thought I was creams, then slaps and kicks.
She had a name.
How hard was it for you to cry for help? You said you stayed for us. Mama, where are you now?
This is the
All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome to the E Factor. Like I told you guys, we're going to be having an amazing woman with us. She is actually, I've seen her stuff, and boy, mind blown. Mind blown. So,
thank you.
So, Karen Bester, I'll try and mention your name and then you correct me if I'm wrong. Karen Bester is joining us.
Yeah, you were actually very well there. Yes. So, Karen Bester, that's it.
Okay, I think you did something. Karen, is it Karen or Karen? Like, how do you call it?
Karen.
Oh, Karen. Is it native?
Yeah, so I suppose it depends on how, where you're from. It varies. Some people, struggle to say the Karen as Karen, but it's Karen.
So the
it was fine the way you said it.
Okay, so Karen Bester is with us,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy you decided to do this with us. I am so happy about that. So how exactly, okay, first of all, how are you?
All right. I'm a bit tired, but, but I'm good.
And how is the weather?
It's moody. It's a bit rainy. We had thunderstorms last night. So, but I like that. So it's good.
Okay. So let's see. Where exactly are you from in South Africa?
So I'm based in Cape Town.
Okay.
And I've been here for quite a couple of years, like over 10 years. But originally, I am from a smaller town called Welkom in the Free State.
Welkom.
Which is more center of the country.
So what language do you guys speak?
I'm English and Afrikaans.
Okay, so how do you say you're welcome in Afrikaans?
Oh, it depends on what your structure of your sentence is.
Okay, let's see. Let me say, how are you, Karen?
Uhandet.
Oh, okay. So, uhandet. How do you respond to that?
Dit gaan goed.
Oh my God. Your language is very difficult to, try to speak. But all the same, is actually amazing. I think you guys deal with more of the R's and the R's. Your language.
Yeah, there's a lot of R's and a lot of the sound.
Okay. All right, so now let's get into your campaign, She Had a Name. How's that going out? How's that going for you?
It's going all right. I mean, as I said, when you asked me now how I'm doing, I am definitely starting to get more exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
The longer it's carrying on. I think also just because we're getting towards the end of the year. So that's that normal yearly exhaustion that's now combined with the lack of proper sleep.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of catching up to me. And because of that, I sometimes get confused with my videos, and I record the video and I realize I've set the wrong number, then I've got to delete it and quickly re-record the right number.
Ooh.
It's just, especially if I wake up at night and you can't focus, you can't open your eyes, but
uh-huh.
it's what I decided to do to make the strong point, and that's what I'm doing. I'm almost 3/4 of the way now.
Okay. I would like to say congratulations. It's an amazing thing you are doing. I love the initiative. But so you actually record every 190 minutes, right?
Yes. So every 190 minutes, that's every 3 hours and 10 minutes, I record a video. And the sad reality of it is it coincides with a woman being murdered in South Africa.
Wow.
Statistically. So statistically, that's working with statistics from the last 5 years. Wow. We calculated the statistics together, you know, and you work out what the amount of women are murdered yearly, and it comes down to over 5 years, a woman was murdered every 190 minutes.
Man. And how exactly does that, you know, what kind of effect does it have on you as a woman?
It makes me sad. It makes me angry. It makes me tired. It's exhausting. It's exhausting that knowing that fact that it's happening. My alarm has just gone off now before we started, and there's that reality that statistically right now, a woman is being murdered.
Wow. And you know. 190 minutes. How is that, you know, taking a toll on your health? Because it means...
In the beginning, it didn't really, and I didn't feel the effect, but lately I have. I've been eating a lot more than usual. And I think it's because my body is so exhausted and wanting energy. So I've realized that I'm eating a lot more, which is obviously not good for your health if it's going for all the sweet snacks trying to get energy, where the only thing that's going to help is actually being able to do a proper sleep. But I've got a few more months to go before I get to that. What I do is I work with the statistics from the law enforcement.
Okay, yes. So that is what, yes. Exactly.
So that's what I do. So we get our, the police, the South African Police Services release crime statistics every year. And those are the most... annual kind of statistics that we can use, and we can say, okay, cool, these are fairly true. I mean, we never know whoever does what with the statistics.
Yeah.
But compared to just an organization, you know, you can't say, oh, those were the official statistics. So I use the police service statistics because for all reasons, I can say that they are the most official statistics.
Okay. So you work with statistics from law enforcement.
Yeah, because they are the ones that supposed to, you know, they are supposed to ones to log the crimes and the murders, and then when they release, they give statistics as to how many people were murdered and how many women were murdered. So I work with those statistics specifically.
All right. So, what do you do? What do you do for work?
I'm a performance artist.
Uh-huh. That's the only thing you do.
So I'm a performance artist. I also do some acting, and then I also do to be able to fund all of it, because I don't really make money from the performance art.
Yeah.
I work in the film and the commercial industry as an art director.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That's amazing.
Yeah, but the main thing is the performance art. And it's, you know, I suppose as an artist, we always have that struggle of getting funding to get the work done.
Yeah. Okay. So in details, right, in a way anybody can understand, what exactly is gender-based violence?
It's very interesting that you ask that question, because I'm currently working with a few other groups of organizations and activists, and now specifically around 16 days of... 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. And one of the things that we've been focusing on is that topic of what is gender-based violence. Because so often people, especially victims, believe that gender-based violence is only when it becomes physical. Mm-hmm. But it's not. So firstly, just the broader term gender-based violence means it's a violence that's committed against a person because of their gender.
Okay.
And the focus around it is mostly from violence against women and girls, because they are women and girls. And the different gender-based violence that you get is not just physical violence. It's not just hitting and kicking and killing, and it's not just sexual violence. Violence starts long before that. You get mental and like psychological violence that's committed towards someone. If you constantly threaten someone, or if you like emotional violence, if you keep on putting someone down and you're breaking them down and you're making them feel bad about themselves, and then like the perpetrator would then become the hero to that person, because like, oh, you're so weak on your own, you can't do anything, you need me. And it's a way of manipulating a victim into becoming dependent on the person. And usually before violence becomes physical, there's a lot of the emotional violence going on. There's a lot of the mental violence going on. Also, it can be financial. A lot of the time when a victim is in a relationship with someone, for instance, they'll start saying to them, oh, no, you don't have to work, I'll take care of you. And then suddenly a person doesn't have that financial freedom to leave, because they are now dependent on this person who's making the money. So there's financial violence. So gender-based violence has got a load of different aspects to it, and it's not just actual physical violence or sexual violence or femicide.
Okay. So with what you've said, if anybody finds themselves around, you know, surrounded by gender-based violence, whether as a victim or a witness, and what exactly are they supposed to do?
I think it's very important always to check, you know, to look at the situation. What is the situation? If I'm going to now step in, am I going to put myself in harm's way? That is a question you have to ask. So do I step in, or do I call law enforcement to step in? Is it a situation of I can speak to this victim privately to go, I've seen what your situation that you are in, I'm concerned about you, I've noticed this and this, and I want you to be aware of what is happening to you. Because a lot of the time, if it's not yet physical, the victims don't necessarily realize that they are in a situation of being abused. So if you have a loved one that you can see is an abusive relationship, it's important to, you know, to take a moment to speak to that person privately and safely, to make them aware of what it is that you are noticing, so that they can become aware of it. Sometimes it might be a situation of you have someone that's an immediate threat and an immediate danger, and to try and get them out of that situation by getting them to a safe house or shelter is also a very, very important thing, I think. But the most important thing is to not pretend that it's not happening. Don't just go, it's not my business, it's their family issue, and turn around and walk away as if it's not happened, because it is happening. And if it's not stopped, it will continue happening. And that person might then become a statistic of femicide.
Okay, so like you said, you should safely, ask the person or talk to the person safely. What happens when you know this is happening, but then the person still just denies the fact that that is happening, maybe because of fear? What more do you have to do?
You let them know that you understand where they are coming from, because that is a very big thing, is people feel, oh, but I've told her to leave, she's not leaving, so what can I do? The thing is, it takes a very long time sometimes for a victim to leave an abusive relationship, specifically because of the emotional and the psychological abuse that's going on. They're being manipulated, they're being controlled by this perpetrator, by this abuser. So leaving is not just a case of, oh, I'm going to open my backpack things and leave, because they might have an entire life with that person. So they need continuous support. They need you to be there for them. And you need to, as much as you can, while still keeping yourself safe, keep an eye on what is happening. Do research about shelters or organizations in your area that you might make contact with to go, I've got this person, this is their situation, what advice do you have for me? What can you suggest? Where can this person go if they do decide to leave? What would be the place they can go to? Because that's another thing, is it's not... people don't always have somewhere to go. And if you just pack up and you've got nowhere to go, then you are going to just end up back there, and it's going to aggravate the situation, because you've not tried leaving, but you are coming back because you don't have somewhere to go. So it's important to get information about shelters where this person can go to, so that if you speak to the person, you can say to them, it is your decision, but this is what I've noticed. This is information that I have. This is a number that you can contact. And always make yourself available as well. Say to the person, if you are ready to talk, call me. I'm here to listen. I believe you. It's important to say to them that I believe you, and to also point out to them when they say, oh no, it's not happening, to go, I understand you don't see it from where you are sitting,
yeah,
but these are the signs I've noticed. And then give them information about what those signs mean.
Okay. So with, you've explained what it is and all of that, but how exactly do we address the whole situation of gender-based violence?
How do you mean, how do you address it? In general, or?
In general, what is the most effective way to address it? Because I think you walk into some rooms and they don't quite want to say, you know, it's such a touchy subject that nobody actually wants to speak up. So how do you create a safe space where you're like, okay, fine. So we get what is going on. We have to talk about this because this is killing people around.
I think first of all, we should try to break through that barrier of it being something that we shouldn't speak about, or that should be almost want to say like tippy-toe around it.
Yeah.
It should be something that we all have the courage to openly speak about and to call it out when we see it. Obviously, you don't want to necessarily cause more harm in a situation that's already heated.
Yeah.
So it's important, like I said earlier on, to look at what the situation is. If you're going to be speaking to a victim, do that in private. Don't do it in front of other people. Do it when the person is of sober mind. Do it when the person is not in a state of panic or anything like that, when the person can actually think and hear what it is that you are saying. If it is that you don't have to step in immediately to save a life. But as I also think it's very important for people to call out the abusers. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't help we just speak to the victims and say, oh, you need to get away. But, you know, guys should call out their friends and go, dude, that is abusive. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
You do not do that to someone. That is abuse. And again, you might not want to do it in front of everyone else because that can cause more harm. But you go and say, hey, come listen here. I need to say something to you. And you point out that what you are doing is abuse. This is abusing the person.
Okay.
And it's important for like some situations you might have to say it, you might have to physically stop the person, because too easy nowadays we see people pull out cell phones and take videos of an abusive situation instead of stepping in and stopping it from happening.
All right, so let's see. So within 5 years since gender-based, okay, so 5 years of gender-based violence, do you think it has been on the rise, or is you know, cases are going down in South Africa?
No, look, so I mean, this specific She Had a Name 365, I specifically worked with the last 5 years because those were the almost want to say the readily available statistics that was out there. But unfortunately, we definitely have been seeing an increase in gender-based violence in South Africa.
Wow.
Slowly, but it has slowly been growing. I mean, if 1 year you might have it down by 1%, and the next year it's up by 3%.
Whoa.
This year your rape is down, but your murder is up. Next year the rape is up and the murder is down. So there hasn't necessarily been a heavy decrease, but it has, I think, over the last 10 years, definitely slowly been increasing up to a point where it's now, I mean, for the last, let's say, since 2018, there's really been a lot of vocal activists and organizations trying to put an end to gender-based violence, specifically in South Africa, who is one of the most dangerous countries in the world for women.
Okay, so now, with the global pandemic that just you know, I think is still on, how do you think that affected, you know, victims of gender-based violence?
So I mean, statistically in South Africa, if you looked at the statistics of the amount of women murdered during our hard lockdown, it was a lot less. If you look at rape cases being opened during the hard lockdown, yeah, it was also a lot less. But then you have to ask yourself the question, if most rape cases happen inside a home, how does a person go and report this if they are locked inside their home with the abuser, with the perpetrator?
Yeah.
So in that sense, especially when it comes to something like rape, it's very difficult to really know what is going on, because lockdown might mean, yes, people are not out on the streets, so they're not being raped. But if more people are being raped by intimate partners, family members or friends or community members, then it's happening at home. And if you are now locked up for however many months, then you can't go to the police, because you go to the police, you open a case, you walk back home to that same home, to that same person. And now the police comes and they knock on the door and they say to this person, oh, she's just accused you of rape. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll come and talk to you again tomorrow. But you're now still stuck with the person in the same house.
Yeah.
So just because the statistics shows that there were less reported rapes, I definitely don't think there were less rapes. I in fact think that the amount of rapes that happened during lockdown specifically definitely went up because people were locked inside.
Oh, okay, okay. So now let's shift to a different side. How do we start a conversation about gender-based violence against men?
So definitely, I mean, a lot of the time people go to me and say, oh yeah, but what about men being abused? You're not saying anything about it. And then I make a point and say, never ever in my work do I say that men do not get abused.
Yeah.
Never said that. But I am a woman who are fighting for women and the safety and equality of women. And with that, I also speak up for gender nonconforming and the LGBTQIA plus community. Again, not saying that something does not happen to men, because yes, there are men who are abused by women, whether it's physical, emotional, or mental. They're not saying that this doesn't happen. So what I usually then say to the person is, if you are someone in a situation where you feel it needs to be addressed more, then be that person to stand up and address that.
Okay.
Because yes, it should. But a very big thing for me that when I think about gender-based violence, and you think about, but what about the men's side, is to go back and look at young men, to look at young boys, and to look at how these boys are sometimes told, or very often told, oh, you've got to be a man, you can't be crying, you can't show emotion, you've got to be tough, you've got to be and to break down that stereotype, that patriarchal kind of behavior needs to stop, so that men have the courage to feel what it is they are feeling. Yeah. To be a man doesn't mean you cannot cry and you cannot have emotions. In fact, that's completely the opposite thing. So yes, I think men should have the courage to speak up against any kind of violence, any kind of abuse, whether it's female friend, whether it's a male friend, whether it's a queer friend. It shouldn't be something that we feel we cannot speak about, especially as I said earlier, if the stereotypical thing of like, oh, but a man can't be he can't be hurt by a woman, that's a patriarchal way of thinking. If that isn't there, then men will have the courage to speak up about their own abuse as well.
Okay. That's actually cool. So if say somebody has been around violence all their life, probably from the home, from, you know, I've seen my mom go at my dad go at my mom for like petty things, how do I unlearn, you know, that kind of thing, that it is not normal just because I've seen a father figure do it?
It's a very difficult thing, and that's why I mean, we very often, a lot of this, what I say is like, we have to look at what it is we are teaching the children, because as a child you learn what you think is normal, and that is a lot of the time behavior you take forward. But I think education, a very important thing is we need to educate. We need to take education around gender-based violence to school, so that boys and girls can learn whatever it is they're seeing at home is not necessarily what is the right thing.
Okay.
But it's a very difficult thing for a person, I think, on their own to try and shake what it is they went through as a child to then rise above that. But it can be done, and it's either finding an organization or a group that works with that, that speaks with that, that can assist you and help you to go through whatever it is that you need to deal with to come up above that and rise above that, and then be an example for others that just because you grew up like that doesn't mean you have to end up like that.
Okay, so let me ask this, when it comes to examining victims of probably sexual abuse, right, do you think some of the tests are flawed? Probably the two-finger thing and others. Do you think those tests are flawed?
I can't hear you very well now, sorry.
I'm saying that when it comes to examining victims of sexual abuse, do you think some of the tests are flawed, in your opinion?
Look, I'm not a medical examiner, and I'm also not a scientist, so I don't know the exact ins and outs of how their tests work, but I mean, we know that DNA testing works, and DNA can be picked up on so many different parts of us that we leave behind, especially if it is a perpetrator who leaves certain parts behind on their victim.
Okay.
So I think the only thing that's flawed is the system of it being tested. In South Africa, we've got a very big backlog on DNA testing. So you might get DNA on a victim, but it can never be connected to a perpetrator because the backlog that we have of these DNA testing going into the system is so far that is one of the biggest problems we have with testing currently in South Africa.
Okay. I wanted to ask something in relation to that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but don't move around too much from your mic because then I don't hear you.
Okay, so how exactly are people receiving She Had a Name? What's the reception like?
I would say mostly good. A lot of people in the beginning thought that I pre-recorded the videos and then I posted. You can pre-record and then you schedule it for being posted. And I was like, no, I don't I don't do that. I actually have alarms set for every 3 hours and 10 minutes and it goes off and I've got to get up and I do it. So I've had some really good response and following in the beginning. And then it got to a point where people almost got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also part of what I want to say with this whole repetitive video of me saying the same video. Or the same sentence of She Had a Name.
Okay.
As that is kind of, as human beings, is what we do. When the same thing keeps on happening, we kind of, we've heard it now, we've seen it now, you know, it's kind of, we're over it. And that's also the reality when it comes to femicide and gender-based violence. It's like we walk past the newspaper that says another woman was murdered, killed, and dumped in the street.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it before. You know, we become desensitized to it.
Yeah.
So I knew it was going to happen with She Had a Name, where people are going to get to a point where it's bored, where they feel bored, it's repetitive, it's the same thing. But then hopefully eventually they figure out, okay, but she's still carrying on, and it hits them again that this is still a representation of a woman being murdered.
Yeah.
And then it will make them think again about how it is they perceive this ongoing femicide and how it is we react to the ongoing femicide, that we become desensitized and we become kind of blind eye to it because it's just, it keeps on happening, like my videos keep on happening.
Okay. That's actually good. To stop, you know, the whole idea of, oh, we've seen it already, you know, here we go again, what do you think is best for us to do, probably on a larger scale, to stop that, for people to actually take it serious, that anytime there's, you know, another person, like, people actually care, people have the same energy towards that?
I think if everyone can get involved in some way, then it will become closer to home for them. And if I say get involved, I mean, I know a lot of people are very busy and they don't, for instance, have time to physically go if there's a march or if there's something happening. But that person might be able to add a few items to their grocery list, which they can take to a shelter. Someone else might not be able to add anything onto their grocery list to take to a shelter, but maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a lawyer or you're an artist and you can go to a shelter or an organization and you can offer your skills. I mean, if you can do a session with victims once every half a year to teach them whatever it is that your knowledge is, let's say, like I say, whether you're a lawyer or this or that, if once people start getting involved, when they become more aware of it, I think to then kind of ignore it and become bored with it will become less, it will become more difficult. It will be less easy for them to just go, oh, another one, if they actually are connected to either an organization or a shelter.
Okay.
And that is also what I try to promote with She Had a Name, because I'm constantly promoting different organizations who work in the field of fighting gender-based violence. And I'm, you know, putting details out there of shelters that can be supported, of funding campaigns that's out at the moment, just, you know, to encourage people to get involved.
Okay. So that's actually amazing. So now let's talk about the perpetrators, like people who actually abuse these women or whoever it is that is being abused. Now, do you think the law is actually dealing with them, you know, in the right way the law is supposed to?
No.
All right.
No. Like not. I mean, currently in South Africa, we've got a guy who's just been re-elected as a mayor in one of the towns, and he's an accused rapist. He's committed rape against a 15-year-old girl.
Boy.
And he was found guilty, and his sentence was reduced to just a fine. So he paid a fine for raping a 15-year-old girl, and a few years later, he's a mayor of a town.
Whoa.
So no, it's not being dealt with. I almost want to say it's not being dealt with in the correct way. It's almost not being dealt with at all.
Yeah, I mean, because
so there's that thing of, I mean, you already have a difficult situation with the police force having to catch perpetrators, and then the ones that they do catch just get sent home by the justice department because they get a few thousand rand fine and then they go home. Or you get someone who's been accused of rape who gets bail before they get their hearing, and then they go back to where they came from and they end up killing the person who accused them of raping them.
Wow.
So yeah, no, it's not being dealt with correctly at all, specifically in South Africa. I'm not so sure about how it is there on your side, but over here, definitely not.
Well, on my side, it's even a non-starter. Nobody actually talks about it. Nobody is passionate as much as you are. It's just like we're just sitting down. So it happened. And usually, you know, people ask us stupid questions, pardon the language, stupid questions like, you know, this person was abused. What was she wearing? You know, like stuff like that.
That is unfortunately a very big problem that is around the world, is where the victim gets blamed for whatever reason. Either where was she? What was she wearing? But was she drinking something? But did she go with him somewhere? And it's a horrible thing that happens to victims, especially if they do then accuse someone and there is a court hearing where the lawyers will then attack the victim again, like, you know, second victimization by going, oh, but you were wearing this and you were doing that. And you were the fact of the matter is, if a person says no, whether they are sitting half naked next to you, if they say no, then it means no. Then it's stop, cool, it's done, it's over, we're not going to continue. The person said no. You cannot then go and say, oh, but you were already half naked in his room. Yes, I changed my mind, I said no. So if something that happens, it is rape.
Okay. So, well, this has been an amazing, enlightening conversation. Honestly, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Any last things you would like to say, maybe to somebody out there who is suffering and can't actually speak up? What do you want to say to those people?
That you are not alone. I want to say to any victim out there that you are not alone. And you must just find an organization. If you do not have someone personally in your life that you can speak to, find someone that you can speak to and find a way of removing yourself from dangerous situations so that you do not end up being a victim of femicide. And to other people around, when you see something, don't be silent. Don't turn your back. Don't be, oh, we don't talk about it. Oh, I don't want to get involved. Because you not getting involved will not help the situation. And it might end up having that person as a victim of femicide if no one gets involved. So yeah, it's just, it's about making it vocal. As you know, you were saying to me now, and just kind of a little bit of research and reading. And one of the things that I did read was that they say, like, gender-based violence is not really spoken of in Ghana. People are being very quiet about it.
Very quiet.
And maybe you can start by vocalizing it and going, let's start talking about this. Let's start putting this on top of the table. Let's take it out from under the rug, put it on the table, because that can save people's lives.
Okay, so like you said, I can actually start a conversation like that. So just give me a few pointers on how I can actually do that.
I mean, this already is a start. Okay. This already is a start, having me up here talking about it. And then I think you can just, you know, like, do a part of your show, maybe, where you have people that just discuss things, just bring things up, just yourself. You can maybe do research and find if there's any organizations in your area that you can be in communication with to find out what it is they need. And you can make that something that you put out there to people, that these organizations, they exist. Okay. This is what they do. Okay. So that victims know where they can go, because the lack of information is always a very big problem. But if people know, oh, I can phone this number, this is an emergency number that I can phone, or this is an organization I can speak to if I have questions about what to do. So yeah, I would say for someone that has a platform like yourself, is to go find some organizations who you can speak to, and you can find out from them what it is you can do to help them and to get their information to people out there that need it.
Okay. So thank you very much for doing this. I am so grateful. So
thank you for having me.
Idea. Have you ever been to Ghana?
I haven't. I hope to go to Ghana. I desperately want to do an artist residency in Ghana.
Oh, you should come.
So if you know of any artist residencies that's looking for someone right now with the pandemic happening and all of that still, then you know where to find me.
Okay. Oh, but you should definitely come to Ghana one of these days. I would host you.
No, I definitely want to. It's one of the places I do want to visit.
Okay. So anytime you're ready, just let me know.
I will do that. Thank you.
Okay, and I think we'll be having more of these conversations as time goes on. So when the time is set, I'll hit you up and then we'll just make more magic happen. Okay, so
thank you. Fantastic. And what I'll do, because I've obviously got you on social media, so I'll share with you everything that we are currently now sharing about what is gender-based violence and ways that we can support and help.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Karen Besta.
Oh, Karen. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to touch down. Thank you for joining us on this exciting journey. Join our next transmission for an even better experience. Have a nice day.